Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Hercules and the Space Gods. I'm Hercules Invictus. Hercules and the Space Gods is a voyage of discovery that is currently unfolding through our podcasts on Mount Olympus and CERN, select chapters in Tim Beckley's paranormal anthologies, a variety of live and now Zoom events, and several articles published in various magazines over the past few years. Hercules and the Space Gods supports all of humanity's efforts to transcend this world and venture forth into the great beyond, be they metaphysical, mechanical, or even imaginal. Tonight, I'm proud to bring you the sixth revelation with Michael and Diane Duncan and their guest, Nick Curto. Greetings and welcome. How are you, my friends?
Oh, everyone is wonderful. And Michael is here. We're so excited to have him here finally.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'm here. Yeah. Hello, guys.
And Nick is here, and we're just overjoyed.
Fantastic.
Michael, I'm so glad that you're with us now. It's been way too long since you've been here last.
Well, I'm testing the axiom, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
It really works. It really does.
guys, I just wanted to say a short prayer because we are opening up a Christ or a Happy Easter show with Nick and Michael here and everyone. And then the first thing I want to do, though, is read just a little bit about Lord Maitreya because he is the cosmic Christ. And then we're going to have Michael and Nick and I join for listening to Nick's beautiful renderings from the Arantra book. So the first thing that I want to do is this short prayer. And all I'm going to say is this. May Jesus, the risen Lord, shower you with his graces, with his light, and with his love. Because love is where it all is. And we are having our worldwide religion of love celebration all week. We had our first anniversary on March 20th, 2021. And I just wanted to read this little bit about our cosmic Christ, and then we will get into our Easter program with Nick. This is about Lord Maitreya, because so many people, not just Urantia people, but friends, say, who is Maitreya? And so I wanted to do this first and have this done. For those that are listening, here we are. Number one, Lord Maitreya is an ascended master. Together with Gautama, Maitreya followed the disciplines of the Buddha under Sanat Kumara. Now, Sanat Kumara is Gabriel. He holds the office of Cosmic Christ and Planetary Buddha, serving in hierarchy under Lord Gautama, directing the office of the World Teachers. He demonstrates on behalf of an evolving humanity the cosmic consciousness of the Christ in all areas of human endeavor and its universality throughout cosmos. He is known as the Great Initiator and was, in fact, the initiator of Jesus in his individualization of the Christ flame in his final embodiment as world savior and exemplar of the way, the truth, and the life to all aspirants on the path of personal Christhood. Beloved Maitreya was the Lord God in Eden, Guru of Twin Flames, the long-awaited coming Buddha. He has indeed come to reopen his mystery schools to assist Saint Germain and Portia, Twin Flames of the Seventh Ray, and Hierarchs of Aquarius to usher in the New Age. And this is why I'm reading this, because we are awaiting the New Age of Aquarius, beginning in 2024, really. Maybe a couple months in 2023, but really 2024. We've just celebrated the Worldwide Religion of Love, the anniversary, first anniversary, and now we await for the age, a new age of Aquarius. So I just wanted to read a little bit about him for so many who have asked, and he is truly holding office of Cosmic Christ. So now we will join Nick, and
yes,
Michael,
hi.
And we will begin our Easter program, and we're just so delighted that you're here, Nick, just delighted. Thank you.
I will always say yes to you anytime an invitation comes my way to be joined with you and Michael on your podcast. I promise that. Absolutely will. It's a joy always to be with you both and, of course, with Hercules.
Oh, well, I don't
well,
know what
you,
to
Nick,
say.
I really appreciate that. Yeah, you've been a very wonderful supporter of us, Nick, throughout the years. And, in fact, you were the one that introduced us to the great Hercules Invictus, and
we are always
indebted to you, Nick, and to you, Hercules. Thank you so much, you two, for all you've done for, especially the Celestials, because, you know, the more people that we meet in our journey, the more people we find are working in their own way, you know, and hopefully eventually together. For the Celestials, you know, and helping them to spread their light and to help to make us Christs, you know, Christs, Buddhas, you know, Ascended Masters, you know, whatever we may aspire to be. It's people like you and people that we're meeting every day that are helping everyone on this planet to be better. So we want to say thank you to you and thank you to everyone that is that's helping everybody out at this time. So,
and now we'll turn it over to Nick, and we do wish everyone a most happy Easter that is to come. And thank you, Nick. We're eagerly waiting to hear what you have to say.
Two of the most joyful times of the year, I think you would agree, would be the birth of Jesus and the ascension of Jesus into heaven to be with his Father. And so those two types of during the year, those two events always have such joy on such deep levels. And I'm sure that most people would agree with that. April 9th to May 18th, AD 30, there were 19 resurrection appearances of Jesus in the 40 days from the resurrection until the hour of his spirit ascension on high. Jesus made 19 separate appearances in visible form to his believers on earth. He did not appear to his enemies, nor those who could not make spiritual use of his manifestation in visual form. These appearances were corroborated by the testimony of many of those who met, recognized, and communed with the resurrected Master. When the various believers saw Jesus after his resurrection, they really saw him. They were not self-deceived victims or victims of hallucinations. He became a part of the personal experience of almost 1,000 human beings before he finally took leave of this world. Now, I'm going to read you the very last moments of his life before he left our planet.
Thank you.
It was almost 7:30 this Thursday morning, May 18th, when Jesus arrived on the western slope of Mount Oliver with his 11 silent and somewhat bewildered apostles. From this location, about 2/3 up the mountain, they looked out over Jerusalem and down upon Gethsemane. Jesus now prepared to say his last farewell to his apostles before he took leave of your rancho. As he stood there before them, without being directed, they knelt about him in a circle, and the master said, and this is a quote, "I bade you tarry in Jerusalem until you were endowed with the power from on high. I am now about to take leave of you and about to ascend to my Father, and soon, very soon, will we ascend into the world of my soldiering, the Spirit of Truth. And when he has come, you shall begin the new proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom, first in Jerusalem, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. Love men with the love wherein I have loved you, and serve your fellow mortals even as I have served you. By the spirit fruits of your lives, impel souls to believe the truth that man is the Son of God, and that all men are brethren. Remember all I have taught you, and the life I have lived among you. My love overshadows you, my spirit will dwell with you, and my peace shall abide upon you. Farewell." Unquote. When the Marantia master had thus spoken, he vanished from their sight. The so-called ascension of Jesus was in no way different from the other disappearances from mortal vision during the 40 days of his post-resurrection career on earth. It was about 7:45 this morning when Jesus disappeared from the observation of his 11 disciples to begin the ascent to the right hand of his Father, there to receive formal confirmation of his completed sojourn of the universe of Nebadon. And so ends the reading.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Well, thank you very much.
Isn't that something?
Oh, it is. Every year we read it, it is inspiring.
You know,
it's so inspiring. It's so beautiful. It's so simple, too. It's so simple.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And, you know,
and meaningful. And it goes on so many different levels. Absolutely. It's incredible. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage. And 19 different times with over 1,000 people witnessed his ascension, his being out of the tomb and within his Marantia form and talking to people for 40 different days, some just a couple of people, and in some cases, many people, and they all heard and saw him.
Yes.
Can you imagine what that must have been?
You know, and they all benefited in many, many ways too, you know. And gosh, we talk to a lot of people in the Rancho Book community who are even experiencing Jesus today. They're having personal experiences with Jesus and you know, of course with other of his celestial brothers and sisters. But you know what? The thing that really struck me in the reading was something that the Urantia book keeps coming back to, and that is the word love. And Nick, you were so kind to give us a happy birthday or a happy anniversary for the New Worldwide Religion of Love that we just celebrated last March 20th. That was, six days ago. And you said,
I looked so hard to find the right images to put in my email to you. I went through a lot of imagery before I came to those particular images because
nice.
It was indeed a special anniversary, the first year of what we so need on this planet, what we so yearn for. And you are right on top of that. You and Diane are right on top of this, and you are leaders in one of the most beautiful movements I could imagine. And you deserve an awful lot of credit for taking upon this amazing journey that you are going on, and you're letting everyone else also be part of that. And it's
or
a
everyone
healing.
Is.
Yeah, you're
well,
so
well,
kind, Nick. I appreciate that.
Well, you know, so need this.
You know, Nick, I wanted to just read one of the images that you sent to us, and it's very beautiful. It says here that Buddha was not a Buddhist. Jesus was not a Christian. Muhammad was not a Muslim. They were teachers that taught love. Love was their religion.
Oh,
wow.
Thank you,
that
Nick.
That says it all, does it not?
Thank you, Nick. Oh.
That says everything. Right there, right there. That's absolutely so beautiful. It goes right down to the basis of all of their messages, all of their messages.
Yeah.
And they were so on target.
Yeah, and think of the love of Jesus.
So beautiful.
Think of the love of Jesus
right.
After his resurrection. He had those 19 Maranatha appearances to his followers, whom I'm sure were just in disbelief and shock at what had happened to Jesus and his life. And, you know, he was really all of the teachings throughout the area, and, you know, reaching out to humanity. And I'm sure that they really experienced his love and his ministry in those Maranatha appearances, you know. And what a gift of love from him. And you know that Jesus, as we learn about in the Arantia book, the Jesus of Nazareth, whom we read about in the life and teachings of Jesus and throughout the Arantia book, his true self, his true essence, his God essence, is Michael of Nebadon, our local creator father, our, you know, creator son, Michael of Nebadon, and of course his consort, his divine co-sovereign, co-equal, divine minister, local universe mother. But we're told, Nick, with this new worldwide religion of love, that the local universe father, you know, whom we know as Jesus, is overseeing at this time on our planet and in other planets in the solar system, we're told. But he is overseeing the worldwide religion of love. With Gabriel and Aphrodite, it's an effort to bring love back to our planet, love for ourselves, for our human temple, mm-hmm. and love for others. And love certainly fits with the new age of Aquarius coming up in 2023-24, where love will be expanded, we're told, and that's really hopeful, and that's really good.
I just wanted to mention, Nick, that there are two beautiful women. One is a Urantia reader, and the other is a dear friend in her own right. She is Urantia also. But it is Diane LeBrec. I just talked to her just very recently, and she says that she actually speaks to Jesus, just like I do. And there are people that do, even today. And Donna D'Angelo, she tells me she speaks to Jesus, and he speaks to her. And, you know, I think people need to realize that there are many, many people on this earth that actually do get the blessings and the joy and the happiness from actually talking to him. And our message through the worldwide religion of love is to tell people, you can do it too. Find a little
That's
place
such an important message
anywhere
to give to all people.
Yes.
Yeah,
and talk to
That's
him.
Because we have it in our power to do that. If we reach out and sincerely want to reach out to Jesus, And many people have found that the communication has come back. I can't imagine anything more wonderful.
Yes, and so many people feel, oh, well, I can't do that. And I'm saying, if it could happen to a simple person like me, and Donna says, a simple person like her, and Diane LeBrecq, the same thing. I mean, we're just simple women. It can be for everyone. It can. We could get more and more people trying to talk to Jesus, and it would be the most glorious thing. It would spread the religion of love everywhere if everyone thought, this isn't impossible. I can do it. I can make that effort to try and talk to him more and gain his attention, and lo and behold, the sun may be shining on us, and it may be the Lord, the Father himself. Mm-hmm. So at least try.
Absolutely. You know, some people really feel that the only time they could possibly talk to Jesus or God would be to be in a temple or a church, and that would be the place to do that. I think that we're saying here that although that's a good place to be, that certainly isn't the only place to communicate, that you can be in your home, you can be in your garden, you could be anywhere, and you can do what you can to try to communicate. So you can be anywhere. You have the power to communicate if you want it and use it.
Amen, Nick. And, you know, we're finding out that, you know, one of the aspects of the new worldwide religion of love is that it's a personal religion. It's an effort by the celestial hierarchy to help us to strengthen and deepen our personal relationship with God. And when we find the quiet place, when we find the time to meditate and reflect and talk to God, that's when we really build and enhance our personal relationship. Yes, the temples and the mosques and the synagogues and the churches are very, very wonderful places, and they're social places for us to pray together, and that's very important. But it's the personal temple. It's the inward temple, the temple inside, our connection with God, that they're helping us to strengthen that connection, that personal connection. And Gabriel, Sanat Kumara, that Diane read about, and Aphrodite, or Mother Venus, whatever, they are appealing to each person personally. More divine truth from Gabriel, and more love from Mother Venus to usher us into this new age Aquarius. And, you know, everybody on Earth needs to return to God. And that's what a lot of Maitreya's work is right now, and the Local Universe Father's work is, to kind of shake us up a little bit and help us to return to that personal relationship, that path to God. And I want to say one more thing, that Jesus is the Local Universe Father that I've already mentioned. But did you know that the Local Universe Father is also Zeus in the Greek pantheon? He is an entity, a being, a celestial being who has been around for so long, with whom we have a personal relationship automatically because we are his children in the Local Universe level. So we can all pray, and we can all talk to, and we can all deepen our relationship with that entity who's called Jesus, who's called Zeus, who has been called Yahweh, Yeshua, who is sometimes called Krishna in the Hindu. So he's available. He's available for love, for sharing love and inspiration and all that. Just wanted to put that in there.
Very, very important indeed. Well said. You know, when I was a teenager, it was very close to Easter, and I was in Massachusetts, Springfield, where I grew up, and I was on my porch, my parents' porch, and I was just in the sun, and I was meditating, and for some reason, I was thinking, what would it have been like when the apostles realized and found out that Jesus had been crucified and had died on a cross in a very cruel, horrible way.
Yes,
and I meditated on that. And it was an incredible experience for me, a spiritual experience, because I really got very deeply involved in that and how the news would so strike all of the people who loved him so much. And I fell into this very, very deep, I would say depression for a while, because it was the worst news you could possibly have. And to try to handle that in some way. And I remember I spent some time meditating on that. And it was, I felt as though I was there and that I had heard the same news. And I just didn't know what I was going to do, what tomorrow would bring. It was over on so many levels. It was, the master had been killed. He had been crucified. He was gone. And a lot of the apostles didn't really remember that he said, "I will return. I will return."
Yes.
And so, can you imagine the impact that that would have on the apostles when that news happened, and how they were trying to survive, literally, handling such horrible news? Can you imagine when they realized that he had arisen? Can you imagine the joy? It's just something to meditate with.
Nick and Hercules too, I don't know if you remember, but when I was a little girl, there were so many wonderful movies about this exact thing you're talking about. There was one movie, and I don't know if either one of you ever saw it, but it was called The Robe.
I remember
that. Oh, yes,
that.
Of course.
The
My
Robe.
Goodness.
Do
wonderful.
Either of you remember?
Yes, of course.
Oh, it was incredible. Absolutely incredible movie.
I have never forgotten that movie. I mean, I'm sure it was probably back in the 50s that was put out, but I have never gotten over the experience of that movie, how that was so incredible. And the soldier took the robe, you know, Christ's robe, and they divided it. And, oh, my goodness, I don't know if you guys, how old you were then, but I'm sure it made an indelible impression on you guys, too, if you saw it. Did you see that, Nick or Hercules?
I've seen that many, many separate times. Yes, I have. And you're absolutely right. It is something. It's an experience you will never forget. If
there's
a way to see it on the internet, or even to pay a little a sum of money to see it on your computer, I urge everybody to take a look at that incredible movie. Absolutely.
Oh, I'll never forget it.
No, yeah. You know, it's a shame they don't broadcast that on national TV around Easter.
They used to do that, and to bring up those wonderful scenes, you know, that were so, so inspiring. Well, like I say, I've never forgotten it all these decades. So, and there were so many more, Spartacus, and, you know, I mean, all these, the Ten Commandments, all these wonderful religious movies, you know,
I
just lived on those movies in those
and
days.
And they taught you so much, they really gave you the imagery of what the story was, and I really do wish that the major networks, ABC, CBS, ABC, NBC, would really, I hope that they will do that, because I think it would be a real service to everyone to redo those
movies. I don't know if you
remember,
there was one more that made a real impression on me, and it was called either The Silver Chalice or The Chalice. But it was
I have seen that. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Again,
because they were searching
movie.
For the chalice of Christ, you know, and it was so. Oh, I still today can't get over that movie.
we have
well,
a
I'm
show
going to...
that deals with those old movies, the old biblical epics. One of our shows, Ron Carson's Colosseum, he deals with biblical and Roman epics. So who knows? You might cover those one of these days in the near future.
Oh, I just really love them. And, of course, the stories and movies about Moses, you know, and oh, my goodness. My childhood was just filled with those. So I'm glad that you guys shared those, too. I'm so happy about that.
Oh, absolutely. beautiful, beautiful movies, instructional, and was at the subject matter that we all need to hear more. We need to understand the subject matter. Of course.
So, Nick, what are your plans for this coming Easter? Do you have anything that you're preparing, a meal or something special?
Yeah, well, when I think of Easter on a lighter, on a very much lighter note, I could tell you something that, of course, sweet candies are a kind of a part of that. Eggs, of course, perhaps some foods with an egg as one of the main ingredients. I want to tell you, when I was a kid, my sister Peggy and I, when it came to Easter time, my parents decided to buy a lot of chocolate Easter eggs. Easter eggs. They bought a lot of them, and they decided that when we were asleep, that they were going to hide them all over the living room. And they put them underneath the pillows, the sofa pillows, the throw pillows. They put them in various parts behind the couch. But unfortunately, and here it comes, it was a very, very hot Easter Sunday.
Oh, no.
And all the chocolate, are you ready?
Oh, no.
It melted. It melted. And even though some of it was wrapped in the foil, Some of the chocolate melted to such a point that it left the foil and went into wherever those little candies were being hid. And I remember my mother started, when she saw what had happened. So the living room was literally dotted with chocolate. I'll never forget that.
Well, I have always done that. I've always had an Easter egg hunt, and especially when Alexander's brothers and sister were little, oh, my goodness, we would have the most wonderful Easter egg hunts. Now we're just reduced to Alexander, so, and he's 15, so I don't think we'll have an Easter egg hunt. But we've already begun decorating the table for Easter. We have a whole big tub of gold eggs. And we'll be bringing out all the other colored ones soon, so it'll be either tomorrow or the next day. So we'll have our table laden with Easter pretty soon here.
Would you like to play one of the songs since we're at the midpoint?
Yes, that would be lovely.
Oh,
okay.
Thank you, Hercules.
Oh, my pleasure. How about God bless
the world? We took our Christmas tree. We took all the decorations off our Christmas tree. And now we have all the Easter decorations on.
Oh, how cute.
So now we have an Easter tree. Now we have an Easter tree.
Oh, how wonderful.
God bless. Do we have time for a quick New York story?
Yes, after this.
Oh, wait,
after,
no, this might be a song.
Oh, don't you want to do the song? And then we will, or do you want to do it now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do the song.
Let's do the song, and then we'll come back to Nick.
Okay.
God
love that song,
bless
Michael.
The world. God bless 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 the world.
Dear Lord, shine your face upon us and bless us, every one of us.
God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world. Sing it with me now. God bless the world. God bless the world.
Oh my gosh, who is that fabulous singer?
No, I gotta say, Michael, that is my favorite
is that
song. I think. Yes. Who is
What's that?
Who is that? Frank Sinatra? Who is that? Michael, that's one of my favorite songs from your repertoire. That is just a beautiful song. You can meditate with that song. It's just inspiring.
Oh, well, thanks. I mean, it's pretty simple, you know. And actually, just a quick little story about it is, we had our worldwide prayer circle of world peace for about 3 years. And, one of the things they wanted us to do is every morning pray for the world. And all of a sudden, you know, as I was saying, God bless the world, a little melody came. And then from then on, I sang it to the world outside of my window, saying, God bless the world, God bless all of you. So that's how that came about, just a very simple, you know, kind of mantra meditation type thing without, you know, a lot of words, but definitely a sentiment of, you know, I send my loving thoughts to you, world. I hope you all will be better today than you were yesterday.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful story. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, so please, Nick, tell us about your New York story.
Yes, we want to hear.
I'll tell you, I have to preface it by saying, Michael and Diane, that I could not make this up. I couldn't. And it was Easter morning, and we go down to Fifth Avenue to right in front of St. Patrick's Cathedral. And there are literally thousands of people from all parts, not only the United States, from even Europe, who will absolutely come so they can be in the, quote, Easter parade of sorts. But it's not a parade. It's really a gathering of people and many, many families. And some are dressed in incredible hats. The women, it looks like they spent all year designing a wild Easter bonnet. And some of these have flowers and birds and animals, not real ones, of course. And some of the hats are like 3 and 4 feet big. They are huge. Right. And some of these people dress in authentic costumes from the turn of the century. I mean, it's really quite a spectacular sight. If you're ever here on Easter, that's a must. Also for any of our listeners, if you ever are in New York City, please, on Easter, around 10, 11, 12, 1 o'clock, that's the place to be. And my story is that when I was there one particular year, and it was around 1 p.m., beautiful sunny day, lots of people were there, and there were street performers also entertaining the people in that area. I happened to glance across the street. Again, it was a very busy, very crowded street and lots of fun. And I happened to see this beautiful, very thick bush, well, like a very thick vine that was right in front of one of the local stores, one of the big stores on Fifth Avenue. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I don't ever remember seeing anything like that. And it didn't have like a pot, really. It was just simply there. Maybe it was planted somehow. It didn't make sense, but I happened to glance at that, and it did catch my eye. And I was talking to friends, and friends came over to say hello and wish everybody a happy Easter. And when I looked back across the street, something very strange happened, because that beautiful, it must have been about 10 feet tall, very green, it literally was 3 more feet north of the door it was standing next to.
Oh, really?
And I thought, I haven't been drinking. I don't drink at all. How could that be? And I started resuming the conversation, and when I glanced over again, it was about 8 feet from the door of this major shop. And then I realized what I was seeing. It's New York City, Broadway, all the actors and singers and dancers, of course, in the city. It's the Mecca. And someone, I believe, a theatrical kind of person, dressed as a vine,
oh,
a gigantic
no way.
Green vine. And you couldn't see
hilarious.
Their hands or their face or their feet. They were totally disguised. All you could see is a gigantic, beautifully green bush, but it was very slowly moving north. There were people in front of this, and they did not perceive that it was moving. Nobody knew it was moving except I saw it from across the street. I had to hear that.
You noticed it, yeah.
Can you
That's
believe
hilarious.
That? Yeah. If you were there, you would have just been, nobody could even say anything. But I told the group I was with, you got to take a look across the street and watch that bush. And they realized that it was indeed an actor or someone who was doing this unbelievable, I would call it a happening, you know, like something.
Right,
that,
a happening. Yeah, yeah,
oh
yeah.
My
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Very creative. I had to tell you that. Also, by the way, there are people are dressed up as Easter bunnies. I've seen kids dressed up as chickies. And a lot of people, especially the kids, had Easter baskets. And some people bring their dogs, their cats, their birds, and other animals, and they parade those animals with them on this kind of makeshift Easter parade. It's quite a spectacular thing to see.
Wow. Well, hey, you know, sometime we'll get there, Nick. You know, I'm sure. And Hercules, sometime we'll get over there to New Jersey if we can. Uh-huh. You know, we're here in you know, Southern California.
That would be
about
so wonderful. That would
yeah.
be so wonderful.
You know,
I hope we can do that.
Yeah, we've got to do it sometime.
Well, hopefully,
you know?
When we don't have to wear masks anymore, when the pandemic is really history. That would be the time to celebrate, and that would be a time to come, of course.
Yeah, and you know, I was as you were talking about, you know, the Easter celebrations over there, you know, a couple of the churches in our area are opening up for Easter. You know, they've given the go-ahead for, you know, like certain churches to have big Easter celebrations, and one of the churches is going to have like a big festival choir for Easter. And I thought, isn't that wonderful?
Oh, that's fantastic news.
You know?
Wonderful
And I thought, you know, Easter, we've talked about love. We've talked about Jesus' love and all he has done for us and all he continues to do and will do. You know, but there's that aspect of joy and hope, too, you know, that Easter and new life brings. You know, I was looking at one of the images you sent, Nick. It was the final image. And it was, gosh, I don't know where you got it, but it's so beautiful. It's like a break in the clouds. It's an opening in the clouds, and the sun is shining through, and there are clouds with many different colors outlining this opening in the sky. And it's as if we're all the colors of the earth. We're all the people. And all the colors.
I love that shot, and I recommend that you look at that as you meditate, because it will give you just a wonderful feeling of joy and warmth. It is a beautiful image. Beautiful image.
Gorgeous. And it shows that the light of Christ, the light of Jesus, the light of God is continually shining upon us. And the more we can break through the clouds, you know, we can experience that love. We can experience that joy and that hope, you know. I think it's great. It's a great time to be alive. The celestials, our celestial hierarchy, are really sending us good vibes right now, you know. So I implore everyone on earth, you know, God bless the world. Be better than you can be, but also open your hearts to love.
Absolutely. Truly said, I was in Central Park, and the blue flowers, the white flowers, the hardy little flowers that were covered with snow only weeks ago are now shooting up, and they're there, and it's such a feeling of joy to go to the park and start seeing the life coming back into the, and all the buds, there's a lot of buds now on all the bushes and trees in Central Park, all ready to burst.
Wow.
And I've been there when in spring when all, it seems like all of a sudden they just explode with green color, and it's a beautiful time too. I'm sure different parts of the country, it might be different, slightly different timing, but that's just such a joyous time to be alive and to really enjoy nature and spring.
Yes, yes. It's not as dramatic here, as you know, probably, Nick, in Southern California here. You know, it's fairly subtle, but I'll tell you, the birds have been chirping so much more happily and loudly than they ever been, than they ever have been before. I don't know what it is, but gosh, you know,
they're happy. They're happy
too.
They are just as happy as we are, because it's going to be a lot better life for them. One of my dearest friends, her name is Nita, N-I-T-A. She's an incredible woman. I've known her for many years. And one of the things she does is she brings seeds and she brings nuts to all the woodland creatures of Central Park. And when she goes to Central Park, and I've been with her, they know that she's coming. And when she sits on a bench, the woodpeckers, the little birds, the big birds, they're all circling, and they perch on the bench and on the trees near her. And she puts out her hand with the seeds, and they come and they feast, and they know her well. I think she does that just about every single day in the afternoon. And even the squirrels, they know her.
Yeah, they know.
It's really something to see.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yes, that's the thing about the interconnectedness of all life. You know, we're all connected. We all have that spark of paradise within us. Every atom has that spark of paradise, that, you know, eternal part of God within us, and we're all connected, and even the animals and the trees. I mean, we have a really good friend. His name is Gerald, and he's been he's talked, and we've talked about you know, the intelligence of trees, how big trees help little trees, and they're aware of the whole community. But the animals too, you know, they know. I mean, they have a consciousness.
Oh, yeah.
They have a consciousness.
I was walking.
They're connected.
I was walking in Central Park one afternoon, and it was bright, sunny day, maybe at 2 or 3 o'clock. And first I thought I was alone, and first I thought there was something in my eye, because there was something on my right-hand side. I thought it was in my eye, but as I rubbed my eye and turned to the right, it wasn't in my eye. It was a hummingbird that was literally flying just inches from my head, and going at the same rate as I was walking.
Maybe you thought you were a flower.
And when I turned, the hummingbird, which was literally only a couple of inches from my head, that little hummingbird turned, and for one brief moment, we were making eye contact.
Oh, how about that? Oh, that's fabulous.
Literally, I was looking in the eyes of that little hummingbird, and the living he was looking at me. And for one second, and then he flew off, which they're like helicopters, as you know. They're incredibly beautiful flyers. And I thought, what just happened? What in the world? I communicated with a hummingbird, and the hummingbird just wanted to say hello.
Yeah, you made a connection with him. Oh, that's fantastic.
I couldn't even make that up. That really, really happened, you know, and for a few minutes, I thought, did that really happen to me? And the answer was, yes, it did.
I had something happen. I had something happen not too long ago. I was in the park, and there was this golden retriever there in the park. And, you know, he was passing me with his master, and I was passing the other way, the opposite way. And then about, you know, maybe like 5 to 10 seconds after we maintained our own walking pathway, we both looked back at each other and we made eye contact. You know, it's like he did a double take on me and I did a double take on him. You know? it's like we both connect and he was looking right at me. And it's funny where I work,
absolutely,
Nick. Where I work, you know, there are a lot of dogs that come around, like service dogs, you know. It's amazing. They all have different personalities. you know, just like humans. It's like, oh, yeah, my dog's a little shy. You know, my dog's shy. Oh, my dog is just so exuberant, you know, jumping up and down. And, you know, my dog can do this kind of trick and all that. So they have their own personalities. And
Absolutely do. Very, very individual. The more you know them, the more individual, and you can start to read them.
Right.
It's incredible. Also, I got to say a word for our friend, the bumblebees, the insects, because they need our respect and our love also, especially when Monsanto was spraying that horrible Roundup and they were killing millions of bees, which, of course, are responsible for helping us to grow food.
Right. They pollinate the flowers that make the fruit. Yeah.
Exactly. So we have to be very respectful, really do, with all the insects, too. Even though they're little, they deserve respect also. They've got lives to live.
Yeah. And they're all the children of God, just like we are, you know. And they celebrate Easter, too, just like we do.
It's just something to really contemplate.
They come to life in the spring, you know, just like we do. And that's one of the beautiful aspects of Easter. And Diane wanted to share something here really quick.
I just don't want to forget. I wanted to mention that we have Maitreya, we have Saint Germain, we have, of course, this Easter season. And I just wanted to read this little paragraph here at the end of our program. Thanks to the teachings of Jesus Christ and Saint Germain, you too can know the Lord through your Christ self, who is your real self, prophesied by Jeremiah as the Lord, our righteousness, and by Zechariah as the branch. By this presence within, every man shall know the Lord, the Word, as he sits in meditation. As Micah observed under his own vine, the Holy Christ self, and fig tree, the mighty I Am presence and causal body. Jesus Christ and Saint Germain, together with all of the heavenly hosts, ascended masters, Elohim, archangels, angels, and servant sons of God, who comprise the spirit of the great white brotherhood, this multitude of saints robed in white, witnessed by Saint John, have come forth from the inner mystery school at the end of Pisces and the beginning of Aquarius to teach us how to call upon this name of the Lord. Alchemical formulas whereby we may put on our individual Christhood, even while we overcome personified evil and the energy veil of our negative karma, the so-called sins of our past lives. I just wanted to mention here that Jesus has given us the ability to realize that we have a Christ self within us. And I think that's something we need to mention before the program ends, that he came and he left so much for us to do and to work upon to develop our own Christ self. So that's just how I wanted to end it, that we all have a job to do to try and emulate this great, great white-robed one. So thank you, Nick. Thank you, Hercules.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your joining in thinking about our Savior and what he has done for us. And Michael, would you like to have Nick give us information? And do you have a last comment?
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to say happy Easter to everyone and to you, Nick, and to you, Hercules.
Thank you.
I hope you, Hercules, you and Athena will have a nice Easter celebration with your family. Are you guys doing anything for Easter?
No, we're not Christians, so we don't really celebrate Easter. My family celebrates, though, so, you know, we wish everybody a happy holiday.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Well, I want to wish everybody during this time of Easter, this time of new life for the earth, lots of joy, lots of love, happiness, and Christ's light. And I just wanted to mention one more of Nick's images that he sent us before we head out. And Nick, it's a beautiful one. It has, it looks like it's a picture of the earth in the middle. There are children from all nationalities. They are encircling the earth hand in hand, different nationalities, color, races, creeds, nationalities, ancestry. And the caption is, "There is only one religion, the religion of love."
Amen to that. Absolutely amen to that. Beautiful,
oh,
beautifully said. And so true. Absolutely true.
Well,
that's
it's also, though, for those who have no religion, you know, that's what Maitreya tells us, you know, that this is a religion for every single person upon the earth. So that's a blessing to everyone. Everyone.
It's open to all. It's open to all as brothers and sisters, which we indeed are.
Yes,
respect and love to everyone.
Yes,
everyone.
Yes.
No one should be hungry. Nobody should have no home to live in.
I just wanted to mention before we leave, we just had a beautiful team meeting, and it was with Maitreya. And the last thing he said to us was, pray for the children. Pray for the children of the world. So I don't want to forget to mention that. Here at Easter, we do need to pray for the children. There are children on our borders that are struggling, that need food, that need care, and we need to pray for those. But he was saying, pray for all the children of the world this Easter. So I don't want to forget
Absolutely.
To put that in.
Absolutely true. Yes.
Okay, Nick, can you give us your contact information, and can you also give the website to the Disclosure Network?
Oh, thank you very much. Okay, I will. Yeah. My email address, and I certainly welcome your comments or your questions, anything like that, please. I'd be very happy to receive that. My email address is I-C-K-N-Y-N-Y, and then the numeral 1@gmail.com. I'm going to repeat it, Nick, NYNY1@gmail.com. The Disclosure Network New York investigates ET UFO contact. We have many, many images and stories and people who've had real experiences, and we share that. Our website to get involved would be www.dnny.info, dnny.info. You can contact us there. We have two Zoom meetings for our members every single month throughout the year, and they are stellar. We have speakers as well as roundtable discussions. Highly recommend. Thank you, Michael.
All right. And Hercules, is there anything that you would like to add to the program today?
No, you guys did an awesome program. So if you can share your contact information, we have around a minute left.
All right, sounds good. Yes, we have a YouTube channel. It's Michael and Diane Duncan, MichaelAndDiane, Duncan, Dunkin. And that's our YouTube channel. We have 107 videos now of our celestial team meetings. We have our songs from our 5 Urantia Book-inspired albums. We also have some pictures and, you know, paintings and things like that. And then all of my albums are on Amazon Music and iTunes and Spotify and Shazam. You just type in Michael Duncan, M-I-C-H-A-E-L. D-U-N-K-I-N. And if you'd like to give us an email, it's michaelduncan1@hotmail.com. And we're always open to dialoguing about anything religious, spiritual. We have lots of friends from lots of different religious and spiritual traditions. So we are very open to hear how the celestials are working through everyone at this time on Earth.
I just want to add something that I forgot. We have on YouTube a lot of the Zoom meetings that were recorded, and these for Disclosure Network New York. We have a number of them with some incredible guest speakers, and you can find us on YouTube by going to Disclosure Network New York Town Meetings. Disclosure Network New York Town Meetings. Meetings with an S at the end. And
is New York spelled out?
Yes, it's all spelled out, but not together. The space between each of those words.
Got it. Yep. Okay, thank you so much, Nick. Thanks, Hercules.
Thank you.
Bless you all.
God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.